So today we are going to speak about Srivas Thakur, who, as you all know, is a member of the Panchatattva, whom you have on the altar here, in case you haven't figured that out. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. So, the members of the Panchatattva, of course, are three of them, are Vishnu Tattva. That means God. So, Dvaita Chuta Nadi Radnanta Rupamajam Purana Purusham Navyavanam Cha. They're all the same person, but in a different mood, different moods. Okay? There's only one God. We're not polytheistic, we're monotheistic, we believe in one God. So, of course, there's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nayanya, he is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And then there's Lord Nityananda, who's Balaram, Hoila Nitai, who is Balaram, the original spiritual master, without whom you cannot make any spiritual advancement, Nayamatva, Bala Hinenwa, Labdwa. And then there's Dvaitacharya, who is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, and also sometimes called Sadashiva. And then you have Gadadhar, who is Srimati Radharani, incarnation of Srimati Radharani. And then you have Srivas. And, of course, Srivas is Narada Muni, very interesting. And he represents us because he is Jiva Soul, Tatashta Shakti. And so, also we have Gaura Bhaktivrinda, which is the rest of us. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. That's all of us. Because we don't belong on the altar like the rest of them. So getting to the story of Srivas Thakur. As I mentioned, he's Narada Muni. His brother was Parvata Muni. And that was Sri Ram. And the other brothers, Sripati, Sri Nidhi. And his wife, Malini. It's interesting that Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni, and Narada Muni is supposed to be, what, Brahmacharya, right? But in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he was married. Very unusual. And his wife, Malini, was the incarnation of the appearance of Krishna's nurse, whose name was Ambika. So you see all of Krishna's different associates appeared at the same time as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is generally the case, that when Krishna or various incarnations come, then his associates, eternal associates, Nityaparshadas, they come with him. And so, Srivas Thakur was actually quite older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wasn't a classmate, like Mukunda and others were. And Srivas Thakur was a friend of Jagannath Mishra, who happened to be Lord Chaitanya's father. And Malini, his wife, was a friend of Sachi, who was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother. And Malini used to care, Malini, of course, Srivas Thakur's wife, used to care for Sachi Devi when she was pregnant with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first appeared in this world, of course, he had his childhood pastimes, which were rather interesting in many different ways. But after he grew up, he did not manifest initially his, let's say, ontological position, that means his position as Krishna, or his position as Krishna's greatest devotee in the mood of Radharani. He manifested something different. He manifested himself as a great scholar who would challenge the devotees. And the devotees became so scared of dealing with him, they would go to the opposite side of the street when they saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming. Of course, it was Nimai at that time, not Chaitanya, but Nimai Pandit. And so Srivas Thakur, being older than Lord Chaitanya, had the etiquette whereby he could chastise Nimai. He said, and this is a quote from Chaitanya Bhagavat, he said, "O crest jewel of arrogance." Arrogance means pride, because Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting extreme, what appeared to be extreme pride, but it was pastime. He said, "O crest jewel of arrogance, Do you know the purpose of life? You know, obviously Krishna knows the purpose of life. But do you know the purpose of life? You know, you are so damn proud. What's wrong with you? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, by your mercy, I will understand everything. By your mercy, I will become such a great devotee that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will worship me. So, you know, someone said that. Let's say you had someone who came to the Hare Krishna temple and they were very proud and they were questioning the devotees and, you know, philosophically defeating the devotees. And we challenged them in that way and they said, well, I'll become such a great devotee that even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will worship me. You'd say, wow, this guy has spiritual trouble. So that's what Srivast Thakur thought. So later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited who he was only after taking initiation, which is really interesting, because even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing us the importance of approaching a spiritual master, and Krishna did too, of course, as Sandapani Muni, he took instruction from. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking initiation from Ishwara Puri, he manifested all the different aspects of Krishna Prema up to the level of Mahabhav, of course. And then Srivast Thakur began to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let us say, obviously exhibited himself as God because he manifested four arms. And when he manifested four arms, he said to Srivast Thakur, I am the same person you've been worshiping all along. And Srivast Thakur offered these beautiful prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which I'm going to read right now. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Vishwambar, whose bodily color is like that of a newly arrived rain cloud and whose garments are the color of a thunderbolt. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with the ornaments of peacock feathers and a garland of red beads. That's Gunjamala. The Govardhan is always worshipped with these Gunjamala, these little red and white beads. If anyone's interested in seeing them, I have those beads on my deities. And one thing you should know about those beads, actually they're poisonous, so don't eat them. Actually, you can die by chewing on one of those. My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the pupil of Gangadas, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of 10 million moons. My obeisance is at your lotus feet. You who carry a buffalo horn, stick, and flute, the four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, my obeisances I offer again and again. This is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Today my birth, my activities, my everything have become successful. Today my very existence has been crowned with the greatest auspiciousness. Today the whole race of my forefathers has finally borne fruit, and my house, which was also their house, has become blessed. Today the great fortune of my eyes is completely beyond calculation because I have been able to see the person whose lotus feet are served by the goddess Lakshmi Devi. So several things happened in the house of Srivast Thakur, and I'm going to recite some of these different pastimes. One is, residing in the house of Srivast Thakur was this little girl named Narayani, who later on became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is considered by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami to be an incarnation of Vyasadeva. In other words, he's the Vyas of Chaitanya's pastimes. So what happened is, once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya was in the house of Srivast Thakur, which is, incidentally, was the place where the whole Sankirtan movement was started. And he gave Narayani some Mahaprasadam, and Narayani started rolling on the ground in ecstasy and just chanting the holy names. And so people say because of that mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan Das took birth later on. So another story is that Srivas Thakur had a servant, and the servant's name was Duki. Duki means very unhappy. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave her initiation. He called her Suki, happy. Actually, somehow or other, that was a name sometimes given by parents, Duki. Now, why would they give that name? Sometimes because they had other children who died before them, so they would call them Duki. Shyamananda, before he became Shyamananda, was called Duki, and he was given the name Duki Krishnadas by his spiritual master, Goridas Pandit. And because he was called Duki because all of his brothers, previous brothers and daughters, his sisters died before he appeared. So later on he became Shyamananda. So then there's another famous story that's told both in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One time during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan performance in Srivas Thakur's house, Srivas Thakur, who had one son, saw the departure of his son during the kirtan. So the devotees were chanting. And all of a sudden, he saw that the ladies started to cry. And he said, "Why are you crying?" And they said, "Your son has died." And Srivas Thakur said, "I do not want to disturb the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you don't stop crying, I will give you something to cry about." You know, so I guess he had a temper. The ladies were kind of afraid of him. So therefore, they just sort of like kept their eyes closed or something like that and didn't cry. That's actually similar to a story in the Ramayana. Where Lakshman, he was accompanying Lord Ramchandra during the Vanavas, going to the forest. And Lakshman told his wife, whose name was Urmila, "You should not cry during the whole time I'm gone." And that's pretty hard. And so she just like had to keep her eyes what closed or open or whatever women do to keep themselves from crying, I don't know. And she didn't cry. So after Srivas Thakur's son died and Srivas Thakur kept the women from crying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completed his kirtan. And he said, "Something has happened in this house. Something not so auspicious has happened in the house." "And what has happened, Srivas?" And Srivas said, "No, nothing, just a little thing. Don't worry about it." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Tell me, what is it?" And Srivas Thakur said, "Well, just my son passed away." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And Srivas Thakur said, "I didn't want to interrupt the flow of your ecstasy." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Where is the body?" So he went to where Srivas Thakur's son's body was. And he put his hand on the chest. He put his hand on the chest of the little boy and he said, "Why have you left Srivas Thakur in this way?" And the little boy got up and said, "Many, many births I have passed in this world, but I was very fortunate to pass away during your kirtan." And then he collapsed again and went back to home, back to Godhead. So that showed Srivas Thakur's great determination to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and not get attached to anything else in this material world. Another story that illustrates that is the way that Srivas Thakur earned a living. Because Srivas Thakur never got a job. And somehow or other, he was able to maintain himself. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being concerned, because Lord Chaitanya, being God, you would think, you know, he wouldn't be concerned about the ordinary living entities. So he went to Srivas Thakur and he said, "My dear Srivas Thakur, how do you maintain your family?" Because he had a big family. You know, not only the kid who passed away, but, you know, relatives in India. When you talk about families, it means the parents, the grandparents, the aunt, the uncle. It's big. So he asked Srivastakur, how do you maintain your family? And Srivastakur said, I have this 1-2-3 technique. And Lord Chaitanya said, what does that mean? And he said, if I have to fast for 3 days, then I'm going to tie a water pot to myself and drown myself in the Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't ever talk like that. Even if the goddess of fortune has to go begging, you will never be bereft of anything that you need. So he was blessed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he never had to work a job. Pretty interesting. Another story is Devananda Pandit's story. Once upon a time, Srivastakur was walking by a class given by this devotee, Devananda Pandit, a Bhagavatam class. And Srivastakur, when he heard the Bhagavatam, being a pure devotee of the Lord, what do we chant every morning? Mahaprabha Kirtan and Richagita Vaditramadyan Manaso Rasena. When the spiritual master, pure devotee, hears Kirtan or hears the glorification of Krishna, then he feels quivering in his body on account of spiritual trance. His eyes pour forth tears of love, and the hairs on his body stand end. So that's what happened with Srivastakur. That's called Sanchari Bhav. There's different types of bhavs or emotions that are exhibited by devotees. There's Dastasattvika Bhav, Sanchari, which is also called Vyabhichari Bhav. And there are 33 of them, and some of them appear almost to be like death. You know, someone faints. Like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first went in to see the deity of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, he exhibited this like close to deathness or death, fainting, and some people thought he had passed away. And when they put a swab of cotton in front of his nostril, nose, and then they understood he was alive, and then the devotees started chanting, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to external consciousness in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So with Srivastakur, he fainted during Devananda Pandit's class. And Devananda Pandit's devotees, disciples, followers, students, they didn't appreciate that. They basically picked him up and chucked him out, kicked him out of class. And because of that, Devananda Pandit lost his ability to understand the Bhagavatam. If you offended Vaishnava, you lose your ability to understand Krishna Katha, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So one has to be very, very careful. So later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking by Devananda Pandit's class. And Lord Chaitanya said very loudly, so that everyone in the class could hear, that this Devananda Pandit, he will never understand Bhagavatam. But later on, something very interesting happened. That Devananda Pandit was present during a kirtan of another associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Vrikeshwara Pandit. Vrikeshwara Pandit was an expert dancer. He could dance for 72 hours without stopping. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if I had two devotees like him, he's like a wing, so to speak. Lord Chaitanya said, if I have two devotees like him, I'd be able to fly in the air because I'd have two wings. So so this Vrikeshwara Pandit, he was dancing so ecstatically, the crowd was surrounding, and Devananda Pandit was very worried about his safety, that he would hit someone. So Devananda Pandit sort of guarded him. And by guarding him, he actually attracted Lord Chaitanya's mercy, so that later on, Devananda Pandit was able to apologize to Srivastakur and become a great associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srivastakur also would play Narada Muni in the different plays that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would put on. One interesting story is another story of offenses committed against Srivastakur. It's the story of Gopal Chapala. Gopal Chapala was a very envious Brahmin. And he was very envious because he was not allowed to attend the kirtan of Srivastakur because they had someone at the door who checked everybody to see if they were pure devotee. It's like, Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva Panchatattva Ki Jai. It's just like sometimes you have in a bar something called a bouncer. You ever heard of this before? No? That means if someone's not doesn't belong there, this big, tough guy, like, chucks him out the door. So in the same way, they had someone checking, are you a pure devotee? Somehow or other. I don't know how what sort of test they had for pure devotees. So this Gopal Chapala wasn't allowed in, and so he thought, I'm going to get Srivas Thakur in trouble because I'm angry with him. And there's this thing called framing someone. Framing someone makes it, it means that you make it appear that someone has done something when they actually haven't done something. Like in certain countries, they make it appear that someone is smoking marijuana by putting marijuana in their car. And then the police arrest them. I don't know if you ever heard of that before, but it does happen. And so, of course, in India, there's no problem with marijuana because it grows everywhere, so they couldn't do that with Srivas Thakur. It grows by the side of the road. And even you go into some temples. I was in a temple once, circumambulating the temple, and the devotees offered me some marijuana. It was a temple of Lord Shiva. I was circumambulating. They said, hey, would you like some Mahaprasadam? That was their idea of Mahaprasadam. It was this big thing. And I said, no, it's a codicil today. I'm fasting. So I can't. With it in it.
In temples, like Shiva's temples.
Really? So I got to remember not to take the Charanamrita next time. Okay, thank you for giving me that important information. So so this Gopal Chapala, what he did is he placed the ingredients for Durga worship because Vaishnavas, they respect Durga. She's Vaishnavi. She's a pure devotee of Krishna. But if they worship her, they take the prasad from Vishnu or Vishnu temples and offer it to Durga. And that's what they do in Bhubaneswar to the temple of Lord Shiva. They take the prasad from Lord Jagannath and they transport it every day to Bhubaneswar and then offer it to Lord Shiva. So one is prohibited from eating Durga prasad or Shiva prasad unless it's offered to Lord Vishnu first. Then it's actually Mahaprasad because these are pure devotees. So this Gopal Chapala put the ingredients for Durga worship, like vermilion and other things, outside the door of Srivas Thakur to make it appear that Srivas Thakur was not a Vaishnava. He was actually a Shakta, you know, someone who worships the Shaktis. And so when Srivas Thakur woke up the next morning and saw all the ingredients, you know, he didn't care because a pure devotee doesn't care about reputation. He said, who cares? You know, so he said, all right, everybody knows I'm worshiping Durga, and he had someone remove all the stuff. But that was such a great offense to the lotus feet of Srivas Thakur that this Gopal Chapala, after 3 days, got leprosy. Now, leprosy means that your fingers melt off, your nose melts off, and it's really disgusting. They used to have colonies of lepers in different places in the world, especially where it's very warm, there was a lot of leprosy. And now, of course, they have vaccinations and cures for leprosy. I know Fiji, in which I spent a lot of time, and they had leper colonies there. So anyway, so he developed leprosy. And when he developed leprosy, this Gopal Chapala realized that, you know, I've made a mistake. So he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, you're the most munificent, supreme personality of Godhead. Please give me your mercy. Forgive me or purify me. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I curse you. I curse you to be bitten by these same worms, because in leprosy the worms are there too. For millions of lifetimes and millions of years. Wow. So Lord Chaitanya, being the most munificent supreme personality of God, sometimes curses you. If you offend a Vaishnava, remember that. If you don't remember anything from this class, remember that one thing. Never, we talked about this yesterday actually. Don't offend a Vaishnava, no matter whether they're a member of the Christian church or the Muslim society or they're a member of the Gaudiya Math. Don't offend anybody. Don't call anyone names. You can have an argument or a discussion with someone over philosophy. You can say, I don't agree with your philosophy. You're wrong. No, you got to be careful with that. But you can have a discussion, nice philosophical discussion. But don't use any ad hominem attacks. Ad hominem means personal attacks. You are a demon. He's a demon because he believes that Krishna comes from Narayan or Krishna comes from Vishnu. You know, some of the Vaishnavas have that belief, which isn't true because the Vedic literatures say that Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. But even if they believe it, don't go calling them names. Just say, you know, Hare Krishna. That's your belief. And I respect you. Amanina manadena. Does anyone know what that means? No. No, you don't know what it means. Nobody's heard of that before. Okay. Amanina manadena kirtaniyasad hari. Trinadapi? You don't know what I'm talking about? Okay. Trinadapi sunichena tarorabhivasihishnuna manina manadena kirtaniyasad hari. That if one wants to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, then you have to be more tolerant than a tree devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. You can disagree with them, but don't be disrespectful towards anybody. Very important. So anyway, so this particular person, Gopal Chapla, later on approached Srivast Thakur for forgiveness, and he got forgiven, and the worms and the leprosy disappeared. So be very careful. And here's an example of someone who served Srivast Thakur, and he wasn't a devotee, and he got pure devotion. Here's another example. There was a tailor. A tailor means someone who makes clothes. And he was Srivast Thakur's tailor, and he served Srivast Thakur with devotion, and he was a meat eater. Wow. I'm not saying that you can eat meat and serve the Vaishnavas. That's not the point. But he was. But we can learn from this story, too, the importance of having the right attitude and service mood towards Vaishnavas. So he was a meat eater. Of course, in India, meat eater, at least amongst the Hindus, means that he's basically eating chicken and fish. Dog? Not in Mayapur, don't worry, he wasn't eating dogs. Chicken, fish, and goats. That's what they were eating. And so he wasn't eating cows because people did not eat cows unless they were Muslims. So this tailor, he served Srivast Thakur and he got pure devotion. Lord Chaitanya blessed you, blessed him to become a pure devotee. And he was a meat eater. Interesting, isn't it? So once upon a time, and Lord Chaitanya tested Srivast Thakur. He wanted to see if he had faith in Lord Nityananda, who was the original spiritual master. So Lord Nityananda was known as the Avaduta. Avaduta means wind, like the wind. So he acted a little unusual in many circumstances. I mean, there was one circumstance where Lord Nityananda was immersed in Krishna prema and he threw off all of his clothes and he was naked and Lord Chaitanya had to just like cover him. And then sometimes he was supposed to be in the renounced order. Of course, he never formally took the renounced order. But he would dress with jewelry, earrings, even thieves sometimes. They planned how to steal from Lord Nityananda. There's stories about that. And so, very unusual. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivast Thakur, why do you let this Lord Nityananda, or Nittai, into your house? You know, nobody knows his background. He's just weird. And then Srivast Thakur said, I will never be deterred for my conviction that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if he goes into a liquor store, or even if he marries a Muslim girl, I will not be deterred for my faith and conviction in him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Srivast Thakur after that. Srivast Thakur was able to understand Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy, because once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting this extreme Mahabhav, and everybody was worried, and he was diagnosed as having a wind disorder. That means the life airs are actually not functioning properly, because according to Ayurveda, when one is crazy, it's because of the imbalance in the life airs. You know, that's the Ayurvedic way of dealing with it. And it actually works. You balance the life airs, and then you're not crazy anymore. Of course, I don't know how to do that. So, Srivastava Thakur said, no, that's not the point. The point is that he is immersed in love of God. So he understood Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. Then, as we mentioned before, in the Srivasangam, which is the original place of Sankirtana, Lord Chaitanya's movement, nobody who was not a pure devotee, someone who was not a pure devotee, was not allowed in. So sometimes people would sneak in to see the kirtan. One person that snuck in one time was Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law. And so she was hiding behind the curtain. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his kirtan. But his kirtans, the moods that he was exhibiting in the kirtans, were only meant to be exhibited before pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, even we have some injunctions about deity worship, that only devotees should be engaged in deity worship. But out of mercy, we allow other people into the temple who are not in Krishna consciousness. You know, even in Sunday feast, we have people who are probably eating meat, doing other things like that. But that is compassion. So just like we have this offense on chanting, to preach the glories of the Lord to those who are faithless, but we're distributing books to so many people who are faithless, or preaching on the internet to so many people. So we take that risk for preaching Krishna consciousness. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan in Srivasangam, they really were very strict. So the mother-in-law was hiding there. Lord Chaitanya was having his kirtan. And he kept saying to the devotees, where's the ecstasy? I'm not getting any ecstasy. I mean, sometimes I guess we even chant sometimes, what happened to the ecstasy? I don't have any ecstasy today. And you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What happened to the ecstasy? Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. No ecstasy. Ram, Ram. I'm sure we've all had that experience. What happened? Yesterday I was so ecstatic. I was thinking a bunch of doubt in my heart. And I was crying and ecstasy. And today I feel like a rock. Anyone have that experience? Yeah. So that's because your mother-in-law is there. Oh, no, that's... That's no, Srivas. So Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law was there, and Lord Chaitanya said, someone is here who doesn't belong. So they look, and finally opened up the curtains, and there was this little old lady there listening to the kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya said, get her out. And so it's not something against mother-in-laws. It's just that she was not of the right quality. And so they kicked her out, and then Lord Chaitanya felt this ecstasy again. Another time, with the ecstatic symptoms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Srivas Thakur's house, there was a Brahmin who came in, and this Brahmin also didn't belong. He wasn't a pure devotee at that point. And so Lord Chaitanya had the same response. He said, where's the ecstasy? There's no ecstasy. Someone's here who doesn't belong. And it was revealed there was a Brahmin there, a new person, a Brahmin. And Srivas Thakur said, you know, I thought he was a pure devotee. He lives only by drinking milk. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's not that you become a pure devotee just by drinking milk. That's not a qualification. So but the Brahmin became so humble, and he bowed down to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he touched his feet and said, please forgive me. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him his mercy, and he was allowed to stay in Srivasangam. Another interesting point is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, this is going back to the story of where Srivas Thakur's son died, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Srivas Thakur's son's heart, and the son came back. So Lord Chaitanya said, from this point forward, after your son has died, because you sacrificed him, or you didn't sacrifice him, but you didn't interfere with my kirtan, from this day forward, myself and Lord Nityananda will be your children. And Lord Nityananda really got into that mood of being Srivas Thakur's son and Malini's son. that he would sit, even though he was old, you know, an adult, you know, he is, you know, like 40-something years old by our estimation. He would sit on Shivas Thakur's wife's lap and drink her breast milk. I mean, it's just amazing pastime. And she would baby him like that. You know, can you imagine? I mean, just picture in your mind. Here's this grown man, and Lord Nityananda was like 3 meters high. That's pretty, not 3 meters, actually 2 meters, sorry. 2 meters high. And, you know, how would you do that? Rockabye, Lord Nityananda, whatever. But that was the relationship that they had. I mean, perfectly chaste, wonderful spiritual relationship. She was like Lord Nityananda's mother. And one time, it's described that Shivas Thakur had a little bit of a temper. I mentioned that before. One time, Lord Nityananda was there and Malini was there. And a crow stole the little ghee pot that she had, you know, for ghee, for offering an arti and everything like that. And she got very nervous because if the ghee pot's missing, my husband's going to be angry. And she was shivering. And Lord Nityananda said, "What's the problem, Mom?" Because mother, relationship. And she said, "This is what happened. The crow stole the ghee pot." And Lord Nityananda said, "Okay, crow, bring it back." And the crow just took the ghee pot, brought it back, and deposited it near Malini. And that was the end of the story. So these are some of the pastimes of Shivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Today we're remembering Shivas Thakur as Narada Muni. Narada Muni is, the, as Prabhupada said, the eternal spaceman. He's always traveling from one universe to another, preaching Krishna consciousness, assisting in Krishna's pastimes, sometimes even advising the demons. Like he was Kamsa's advisor. Interesting story about in the Bhagavatam. The Kamsa was first informed that the eighth son of Devaki and Vasudeva was going to be the one that killed him. So after the first son was born, Kamsa became a little compassionate and returned that first son to Devaki and Vasudeva. Then Narada Muni came and told Kamsa, "Hey, you're making a big mistake here. These people are really tricky. Because they said the eighth son, but you don't know how they're counting. They may be counting 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So could be any of those kids, you know, so better kill them all." And, of course, this was to accelerate Krishna's appearance, which Narada Muni was very anxious to see. And these eighth son, or the six children that were killed, actually, Shadgarbhas, later on, or before, they were actually cursed, like, because they committed offenses against Lord Brahma. They had actually been cursed by Kalanami, who was previously their uncle. Kalanami became Kamsa in Krishna's pastimes to be killed by their father. So Narada Muni is a very interesting personality, a wonderful pure devotee, and he appeared, or his disappearance day it is today. Shivas Thakur Ki Jai. So anybody have any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? No?
Framing Shivas could actually work, because at that time it was practiced quite often that some people, they practice secretly.
Yeah.
Those left-handed tantric.
Yeah.
The secret ritual that some respectable members of society who are Brahmins or some other, they were practicing secretly. So he thought that if he exposes Shivas, then he's going to lose reputation.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his whole idea, to destroy Shivas Thakur's reputation. Yeah. Although the Brahmins generally did keep a Durga Mandap outside their house, because they actually respected Durga as Vaishnavi. In fact, sometimes description of the 10 offenses, especially the one about, you know, not conceding the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to the independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu, is explained as not disrespecting the demigods. So one has to be very, very careful also not to consider them the same as Lord Vishnu or the names to be the same as Lord Vishnu, nor should one disrespect the demigods because they're pure devotees. If you disrespect Durga, you're finished. So you see outside of the house of many respectable Brahmins, there's a Durga Mandap, also has a Shiva Linga there too at the same time. And the prasad from Lord Vishnu or Krishna is actually offered to Durga. But it's outside the house. It's not in the same temple as the temple within the house. So it's, but if so, but what Shivas Thakur was accused of, or they tried to frame him of, was of left-handed worship, like you mentioned. That's called left-handed tantra. The word tantra actually means just connection. So that we have right-handed tantra, like the Narada Pancharatra is a book of right-handed tantra. Or the Hari Bhakti Vilas. You know, any of these Vaishnava literatures are literatures describing principles or practices that connect one. Whereas left-handed tantra is like black magic, stuff like that. So we're not interested in left-handed tantra, cursing. There's, in Bengal, it's very common. There was one devotee who ate a sweet ball once, and the sweet ball was cursed, and like a demon grew in his stomach from eating the sweet ball. You know about that? You ever heard this before? Because that's why you shouldn't eat food outside, because it might have some demon in it. Even Lord Chaitanya got cursed because, there's another story about Srivasangam, because a particular individual couldn't get into Srivasangam and he blamed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he cursed Lord Chaitanya. He said, because I've been locked out of Srivasangam, I cursed you to be locked out of your house, you know, to actually take sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya said, Jai, Hari Bol. So, anyway. So, any other questions? Comments, yeah. Microphone, no.
Yeah, Maharaj, about personal attack and disagreement.
Yeah.
When we are a little angry, it is not so easy to recognize what is different, and we sometimes between devotees do both. Can you please explain how to disagree but still keep?
Well, it's pretty easy to understand the difference. In a personal attack, you're calling someone a name. You're saying you're an idiot, you're a rascal, you're a demon, you're whatever, creepy. You're ugly. I don't want to see your face anymore. You know, all these are personal attacks. But philosophical discussions are, you know, I disagree with you. And here's my point, here's your point. I respect that you have a different opinion, that you're right, but you're wrong. You can say you're wrong. But as soon as you attack the character or the body of someone, then that's actually a personal attack. The character, body, mentality, the past of a Vaishnava. You know, that's another way you can commit a big offense, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You talk about the past of a Vaishnava. Oh, you were, I remember you and you were smoking marijuana. You know, or talk about some token reaction that someone's getting right now. Let's say if someone has some disease, you see some, you know, anyway, disease. Or someone dies in a certain way. You know, so you really have to be careful about not getting personal with a Vaishnava. And like with anybody, practically. I mean, sometimes, like when Prabhupada was asked about a particular person who was bogus, of course that's personal, but when he was asked about someone who was preaching a bogus philosophy, Prabhupada said, don't mention their name when you deal like that. Just say, what do they say? Or what is their philosophy? And deal with the philosophy. Because Prabhupada said, that if you mention their name, something like you, it's like touching something dirty, you also get dirty. Your hand smells. Yeah, your hand smells. So don't mention their name. Just say, you know, here's the bogus philosophy. I mean, sometimes Prabhupada would mention them. I was listening to a class this morning. Prabhupada was talking about Vivekananda and Ramakrishna. And Prabhupada really laid into, and also Dr. Radhakrishna, you know. Prabhupada really did mention the name in those cases, and he did call them rascals. But I will reserve the rascal calling for Prabhupada. In other words, Prabhupada has the right to call people rascals. But you know, I'm going to be really careful about when I start calling people rascals. You know, Prabhupada criticized Gandhi. He criticized, I mean, so many people. But you got to be careful. You're going to offend people's sensibilities. And so basically I would just deal with the philosophy. You know, someone says that the so-and-so says he's an incarnation of God. And I say, well, what's his philosophy? You know, and then deal in that way. Generally. I mean, sometimes it may be necessary to call someone a rascal. I mean, if someone says, I'm God, you know, then you got a problem there. And then you know you can call them a rascal and you're not committing a mad elephant offense. So, any other questions or comments? Yes.
You now for a few lectures you continuously speak also about this Vaishnava apparat, and
yeah.
I wanted to ask because me from my personal experience I cannot get very angry to with animal or with people in the street, and they can do many things and I don't get upset. But when Vaishnava does something to me, I get sometimes very upset and very angry. And I take this, what Vaishnava does, very personally. And I return, I cannot restrain myself from refrain from returning the attack very personally. Maybe I misunderstand and misinterpret. That's because of some emotional issues. But I'm very inclined to personally return very, and I cannot refrain somehow. And what to do in such situations when you maybe misinterpret or interpret in that way?
That's a common phenomena that just like most. Violence in this world occurs in the home. Did you know that? Between family members. Because when someone's closer to you, you have... The reason is you have different expectations. When you have... Like if I go on the street and I see a dog, I don't have any expectations from that dog. I don't think the dog is going to offer me obeisances. Maybe he will. But anyway, so I don't think the dog is going to serve me or the dog is going to know who I am. But let's say we're dealing, you know, in my case, let's say dealing with a disciple. You know, the disciple doesn't offer obeisances. Anyway, no, not really. So then you have expectations from people. You understand? That's really what causes the disturbance. Like you have expectations from people who are close to you, people of the same religion. And when expectations are not met, that's the same thing as jayato vishayak pumsam sangustesha pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodabhijayate. It's a subtle form of that. Does everyone understand? Like it's contemplating sense objects, you develop attachment to it. So you contemplate someone and you have attachment to them acting in a certain way. And because you have that expectation, or what I describe in my book as a demand from them, then you get angry. And when you don't have expectations from someone, you don't. You don't get angry with anybody, usually. Isn't that when you don't have expectations? You expect a dog to act like a dog. You expect someone in the eating meat to act like, you know, whatever they're acting like. But for a devotee, you expect something else. And especially if you're expecting respect. You know, we have this expectation of respect from people sometimes, isn't it? And when you don't get it, You know, so that's why violence occurs in the home, because the husband is expecting not only respect, but, you know, iron his clothes, cook his meal. What else? Well, that's for the husband, but the husband is expecting from the wife, you know, those things. Earn money now. Okay, you got it, got it. Now the woman has to earn money to support the husband. So, so you have this expectation. If someone doesn't act nicely, you get angry. Where's my dinner? I didn't feel like it tonight. Ha! Isn't it? But an ordinary person, you know, if I just go up to one of you and say, where's my dinner? Yeah, so I'm not going to get angry because I didn't expect you to make me any dinner. Right? But when you have these expectations, you understand the point? Then you get angry. Or, you know, let's say the husband and wife again. These are good examples. I like giving these good examples. Let's say it's their anniversary. You know what anniversary means? Not sannyas anniversary. But anniversary of marriage. And the husband doesn't remember. They never do. So he doesn't remember. And she's giving hints. Do you know what day it is today? Yeah, it's Tuesday. And she's just like, you know, she's boiling over with anger. And then she says, you never loved me. And the poor guy is thinking, what did I do? You know, this is a failure to communicate, so to speak. So anyway, that's why, really, because we have expectations. Which is, you know, we're demanding something from someone. So the way to deal with that is not to have any expectations from anybody. Then you feel grateful if they do something, and you don't get angry if they don't. Right? That's a hard one to do, you know. Not to have expectations. Whoops. I mean, like sometimes I arrive at an airport and nobody's there to pick me up. And because I have the expectation they'll pick me up, I said, those rascals. They're idiots. I mean, one time I got to Fiji and they thought I was coming the next day. And I called them up, why aren't you at the airport? I said, oh, are you there? I said, what do you think? Oh, we'll be there in an hour. An hour? You know, so isn't it? That's why you get angry. Okay, I think it's time for Bhajan, or else we're all going to get angry. So all glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.